time to talk about music in our Tuesday music feature and letting loose after a day at work. Darkened spaces where time is meaningless. It's all about music and the way it fills the night. There's a new book about exactly that concept, and it looks at all sorts of different places, from Berlin to Birmingham, Montreal to Melbourne, London to Lisbon, and a little city called Wellington, and lots of different kinds of music as well. The book is called Nocturnes, and it's about popular music and the night. And Jeff Stahl is a senior lecturer at Victoria University and one of the book's co-editors. Hi there, Jeff.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm looking forward to hearing about this. So, how much is it just the music of bars and nightclubbing, or is there more to it than that?
Oh, I think it gives us a nice kind of cross-section. I think when Giacomo, my co-editor, excuse me, and I were actually trying to think about this book, so much had been written previously in academic writing about sort of nighttime economies based around kind of managing behavior and whatnot. We thought, well, there's a certain kind of mythology that, A, we want to kind of point to and perhaps kind of celebrate, but also kind of deconstruct a little bit. So it's not simply about bars and nightclubs and going out and dancing and whatnot. It's about a whole range of activities and the various people that are involved, the kind of denizens of the night, as we would call them.
How did it get started? How the project get off the ground?
Well, I think both Giacomo and I are sort of creatures of the night. So we and both of us have done a great deal of research around sort of urban culture, particularly around music. And we thought that there was something here about night and popular music that really hadn't been covered before in ways that we thought, well, we wanted to kind of have a sort of geographically diverse kind of representation of various researchers doing all kinds of different work, both contemporary, but also many of them looking at kind of historical examples of music in the night. So people doing ethnographic work, people sort of digging into archives and whatnot. So we got a pretty broad range of contributors to think about the night in a whole range of different sort of ways.
And it's an academic text rather than, say, a coffee table book.
Yes, it's a proper kind of academic book, so its audience would be sort of rather limited in certain respects, but I think the chapters themselves and a lot of the scholars are heavily invested in their kind of nighttime cultures in their respective cities, so it will have some sort of consequence, we hope.
How should we think about the night through the sort of the prism of music?
Well, I think music is obviously something that kind of animates activity. You know, it's a place around which issues of kind of social regulation and social ritual kind of come together, often in a kind of, well, one would say kind of a productive tension, but also one in which we have to be quite attentive to. Music opens up the city to make it a kind of a space of possibility, but it's also a space of danger and threat and risk. So it does all those sorts of things. And, of course, music transforms the character of the city. It channels activity around the city. It does all kinds of things to shape. There's a kind of choreography that music provides the kind of, you know, the guidelines for. So it helps to kind of move activity to appropriate places in the city. This is where the bars and the nightclubs are, for example. It's also a space in which a lot of artists and musicians can kind of find those little nooks and crannies off the beaten path where interesting things can happen musically, new kind of musical genres can begin to unfold, etc. So there's lots of things that music does to the night, both as a kind of what you would call as a kind of a trope. Obviously, lots of musicians sing about the night, but it's also a kind of topography. It's a space in which all those things that musicians are doing during the day, all the rehearsing and whatnot, and they actually kind of get to try those things out in sort of live music spaces, etc. So it provides a lot of different kind of spaces for a kind of range of different constituencies.
You've put together a little playlist for us as we think about the music of the night, and the first piece of music you've chosen is Wally's by Anne Clark. Can you tell us why you've chosen this one?
I thought this was quite an interesting one. So this is from about 1983, and Anne Clark is she's a poet, and she has gotten mixed up with a lot of electronic musicians and some acoustic musicians. And this album is quite interesting. It's quite dedicated to a kind of, 1983, Thatcher's just been reelected. So it's kind of grappling with this kind of urban dystopia in a way, and particularly a number of the songs are set at night. So there's this, obviously, moments of threat and danger, and Wally's is one of those kinds of examples, but also some very kind of touching moments of intimacy and closeness with other people. So I think it's a really quite a fascinating album, a bit of a cult album. I think she's probably doesn't have much of a reputation outside of England or Europe. She used to be part of a kind of a punk scene based in Coventry, which she got mixed up with people like Paul Weller from The Jam and others. Yeah. So she's got an interesting kind of pedigree. But again, I think she's more of a cult figure than anybody that's quite well known. But I think this album, this song, I think, A, it kind of documents a historical moment. But I think people in this song might kind of recognize what a night out in certain cities might be like, particularly if you're a woman or somebody who's kind of, as the opening line says, peculiar.
Yeah, here it comes.
Ew, mate.
You queer?
No, just peculiar.
So this is where the future lies, in a beer gut belly in an open fly, broken to colic minus four. Punching, kicking, making noise. From the cradle to the city streets, they spill out their aggression. Punching what they don't understand, and stopping all forms of expression. Teaching each other to be men by spewing in the street. Well, now I know just what to do to make my man complete. Against the power of their misguidance, we must learn to fight. To be just what we want to be, morning, noon and night. Night is for the hunters, and the hunted are you and me. Hunted for just having some form of identity.
Yeah, you know that new car date we got?
Well, we went out here the other night, went out dancing.
And on the way we saw these really stupid people.
Stupid clothes, nets.
Stupid haircuts.
I don't know where they were going anyway. Gabe and his mates got out and started pushing them out and fighting with him. It was so funny.
And he got back in the car, that's why he loved his hands.
He didn't go love the Cortina.
And we went up to the discotheque and got pissed. What did you do?
So, this is where the future lies, in a beer gut belly and an open fly. Broken acrylic, mindless boys, punching, kicking, making noise. From the cradle to the city streets, they spill out their aggression. Punching what they don't understand, and stopping all forms of expression. Teaching each other to be men by spewing in the street. And now I know just what to do to make my man complete. Against the power of their misguidance, we must learn to fight. Be just what we want to be, morning, noon and night. Night is for the hunters, and the hunted are you and me. Hunted just retaining some form of identity. Night is for the hunters, and the hunted are you and me. Hunted for just having some individuality.
Yeah.
Oh, I really enjoyed that, Jeff. Thank you. That was Wally's by Anne Clark that sort of set the scene for this conversation about the music of the night. And old school disco is a bit of a feature of your book on the topic.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple of chapters that deal with disco and particularly some gay bars in London and of course, other cities. And of course, you know, we're sort of looking at the 50th anniversary of Stonewall in June of 1969.
Can you remind people about Stonewall? I think there'll be plenty of people who don't know that story.
Right. So this is a bar in the Gay Village in New York, which and had been undergoing a series of kind of an overwhelming kind of police presence. And in June of 1969, they finally pushed back. And it was actually a number of trans people who started the riot. So this was when you might actually kind of recognize this as a kind of a moment of a kind of queer activism, queer kind of political consciousness coming into being. And this then sort of sets up a whole range of things in New York, which starts to see, you know, those kind of spaces becoming more and more accepted. And it really was a kind of galvanizing moment for the queer and the trans community in New York. And, of course, this then sort of sparks a whole range of other things. Of course, disco is still very much a kind of underground phenomenon, and it would have been a little bit early for disco at Stonewall. But, you know, disco is a kind of a crucial kind of soundtrack to that kind of civil rights moment in some ways, certainly as it's kind of gains traction in the 1970s.
Okay, let's have a bit of that soundtrack. So a few years after the Stonewall riots, I think, but captures the sounds of the city and the nights. That's You Make Me Feel Mighty Real by Sylvester. And I'm speaking with Jeff Stahl, senior lecturer at Victoria University and co-editor of the book Nocturnes, which is about popular music and the night. And you begin with something called Northern Soul. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Right. Well, that's not a genre per se. It's probably more of a scene. And this was sort of built around kind of working class sort of subcultures in the north of England who in the late 1960s and into the early 1970s became particularly invested in sort of Motown records, and particularly quite obscure Motown records. And this, as I said, was a kind of a working class culture that was quote-unquote kind of living for the weekend. And it was, you know, in old kind of dance halls that they'd be going to. There's some wonderful documentaries that have some great footage of what these places looked like. And the dance styles were fantastic. They had a kind of whole kind of baggy trousers outfit. And the DJs themselves were sort of prime selectors, and they would be going over to the States and kind of collecting these records. So it created not like a kind of a disco space, a kind of a sanctuary and a kind of transcendent space where for a moment, in the case of Northern Soul, it was, you know, became the all-nighter and people would just be dancing for forever for the evening.
Booze fueled dancing?
No, usually some sort of speed would be the drug of choice there. This is if you watch Northern Soul, if you see how they're dancing, this is clearly not something you can do when you had a few beers. It's really kind of energetic and quite physical, a lot of it. And it's as I said, it's a kind of working class culture. So all these folks that were working in factories were going around to various bars and clubs in the north of England, making trips and following DJs. And it really is one of those moments where the DJ as a kind of figure really starts to take hold too. So this kind of maestro that's going to guide you through the evening and take you on a bit of a journey. And it's, you know, it's got a particular kind of characteristic sound, so they were quite discerning about what qualified as Northern Soul. So and we've got some good examples of that, I think.
Yeah, you've chosen something like Gloria Jones. Yeah,
that's the classic kind of Tainted Love, which of course most people might know through the Soft Cell cover version in the early 1980s. So, but it kind of captures the sound, which is a 4/4 beat, kind of melancholic lyrics, but a very upbeat kind of sound. So this nice little contrast and a nice little tension, and it made for a perfect night out for a lot of people that, you know, just live their lives working in the factories during the week, and it was a perfect kind of escape for them.
All right, get dancing, everyone. Here it comes. So that's Gloria Jones, who was the girlfriend of Mark Bolan from T-Rex until his death in 1977. And if you have ever wondered how Soft Cell, that British synth pop band, ended up recording that song, which was by this sort of West Coast Motown artist, well, that's probably the link, the Northern Soul, the guy from Soft Cell heading along to one of those nights. Jeff Stahl talking about the music of the night, and one thing that is notable from your book is how a city can be defined by its music and its nightlife.
Yeah, I think any number of cities we kind of imagine sort of being marketed in terms of the kind of vitality of their, or the strength of their nightlife. And of course, we know many kind of historical sort of mythic cities, your New York's, your London's, and perhaps other cities like Berlin would be another good example. Berlin's a kind of interesting, at an interesting kind of moment in its history. Of course, so much of its kind of cultural life is bound up in its nightlife culture from Weimar, Berlin, and up to the present moment. And of course, when the wall comes down in 1989, this creates opens up a whole vast sort of series of kind of abandoned buildings, which then start to form the kind of skeleton of what would become kind of the Berlin electronic music scene, techno, et cetera, being sort of, you know, the kind of soundtrack for that particular city. And over the last sort of probably 10 or 15 years, Berlin's really sort of kind of got gung-ho behind its nighttime economy and really found ways to kind of brand the city as a kind of a club culture city, in some ways to its detriment, obviously, because, of course, along with, pitching the city as an attractive kind of cultural destination, that's also attractive to people to invest in. So you have to kind of contend with issues of gentrification. And those things are often kind of, you know, a good night out at a good bar and a good club. That kind of energy and the noise that goes with it is often a kind of counterpoint to the more kind of genteel interests of those that want to just have access to good shops and whatnot during the day, but aren't that interested in going out at night anymore. So that's the other kind of tension I think we were kind of interested in exploring, was that idea that this kind of youthful kind of energy, this kind of entrepreneurial culture, which really feeds into the cultural life of the city, has to also kind of contend with the fact that, well, cities are also places where people live. So there's that kind of engagement. And we were also kind of trying to map out how places like Berlin kind of contend with this in terms of their policy and how they kind of use it as a branding tool. And obviously there's lots of places where people can go and do sort of nighttime tours, et cetera, et cetera. And we were looking at, in particular, one example in Lisbon. We had a couple of authors looking at these kind of organized pub crawls, which...
Yeah. They actually sound pretty horrific, to be honest.
Well, I don't know if any of the listeners have been to Lisbon. It's quite a destination for a lot of young backpackers, and these sort of pub crawls are organized around kind of charismatic young men who are often trying to engage young women to come along to these sort of drinking establishments. And you can imagine it's kind of like Courtney Place here in Wellington, just a very kind of hedonistic, very loose, very aggressive kind of culture. And it's, I mean, of course it brings in however many much revenue, but it's also has a tendency to kind of create a kind of moral geography in the city, an area where, of course, the locals will stay away from, and this is where we know the tourists go. So, yeah.
Yes, locals might think you're being a little unfair comparing Courtney Place to that, but at its worst, perhaps.
I think walking down to Courtney Place at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning can be quite threatening for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Particularly
if it was like Sevens weekend or something like that.
Yes. And I think the situation in Lisbon is not so far away, although it seems a little bit more nefarious in terms of the way in which it's gendered and the way in which a whole range of rather kind of unsavory things happen. So, of course, the cities are trying to kind of manage this as well. They want those young people there. They love that kind of youthful energy, obviously, but they want to find ways to kind of manage it and ensure that it's not kind of creating too much of a threat.
So a couple of tracks on that topic, and you've chosen some Nina Hagen, the nutshell version of Nina Hagen.
Well, a German musician, East German musician who... she's still making music these days, kind of made her way, became a kind of bit of a German sort of superstar in a way, started off in a lot of rock bands, did some sort of reggae, then sort of transformed into kind of arty punk, and she's a bit of a legend in many respects. Definitely worth checking out if you're interested in kind of left-field German rock and reggae and Jamaican music, they sometimes refer to it as. But she's quite an eclectic and eccentric musician, so definitely worth checking out.
Okay, so this is called Was Denn? Hard to define, isn't it? That amazing piano solo about a minute into the song. Bust In, which as far as I can work out stands for, rather translate to, what the?
Yep.
And that's Nina Hagen. So that's in Germany. And then in Portugal, you've chosen some music to sort of evoke the nightlife in Lisbon. This is Portuguese fado music.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, this would be a kind of typical, well, often, you know, in places like Porto and Lisbon, you would have sort of musicians kind of playing this out in the street, and often a kind of public performance that is just out in the open. So it's definitely a part of the kind of the atmosphere and the ambiance of a Portuguese city at night. And it's kind of the Portuguese genre. So it's packaged as such.
Yeah, so. Let's get a bit of it. Nice one. So that's the sound of fado. And tell me about the chapter that talks about Portuguese, or this aspect of Portuguese nightlife.
Well, this is the Lisbon chapter about those kinds of nights out, where this is in part the idea that there's this kind of nighttime culture that is quite unique to Lisbon in some ways, but I think, again, many people would kind of recognize what's going on there, these kinds of organized events around these movement through these kinds of nightclubs and bars in the city. So,
can't talk about music and nightlife without talking about New York, right?
No, again, I think I think when we actually solicited chapters for the book, we had about two or three that looked at New York and London. And I think we also, in thinking about this, we wanted to kind of broaden things out. But yes, it would be kind of impossible to talk about nightlife without talking about New York, because it is, you know, the city that never sleeps. So you can't talk about the night without talking about New York, and you can't talk about New York without talking about its kind of musical histories and its mythologies. So, and we had somebody who was quite interested in writing about one of the great kind of documenters of New York urban culture and its nighttime creatures, and that was Lou Reed, and of course his wonderful track Walk on the Wild Side, which kind of, a little bit like Anne Clark, provides a kind of ethnographic detail, this time kind of looking at the Andy Warhol scene and the various kind of that kind of coterie of kind of eccentric individuals that Andy kind of cultivated in a way, and Lou Reed, you know, paints a very nice portrait of them all.
Such a great song. Let's play it.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. and the colored girls go do 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 do. Gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot doo 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 doo. Do 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 do.
On the wild side. Jeff Stahler is my guest. He's a senior lecturer at Victoria University and co-editor of the book Nocturnes. It's about popular music and the night. And being a co-editor, Jeff, you had to give Wellington a bit of a nudge, right?
I did. And of course, I'm also someone who lives here. So, and as someone who spends a great deal of his time out and about in the city, wandering around, I'm very acutely aware of the situation here in Wellington. And I suppose one of the other aspects that we haven't really covered here is some people might be aware that quite a number of cities like London, New York, Amsterdam, and Melbourne, and others have kind of created this kind of figure of the nightmare or the night czar in some cities. And this is...
Yeah.
This is a kind of curious development over the last few years where cities who have kind of recognized the value of their nightlife have gone to look at people that work in, have a history with club culture and entertainment culture, have been kind of seconded to help set up sort of policies to protect, cultivate, sustain, manage the nighttime culture as a kind of resource of sorts, right? So, and they often serve as this kind of facilitator between the councillor, between city councils and the public and the residents. So they're out there trying to, A, promote the nightlife, but also ensure that various aspects of it are, attentive to the kind of the needs of the people that live in and around clubs and bars and venues. So Christchurch had actually kind of floated this idea at one point as one way to kind of revive their nightlife after the earthquakes. Wellington, I think, is kind of an interesting moment. We have a number of bars and clubs that have been contending with a series of issues around noise. I think Auckland has some similar issues. And this has had a kind of negative impact on the kind of the culture of the nighttime culture of Wellington. And there's quite a few issues that are kind of at stake here. And I think nighttime culture is something kind of very fragile, and the kind of ecosystem associated with it is something that really needs to be kind of protected. And I think often councils are quite more attentive to what goes on during the day and the early evening, and they're not so attentive to the things that happen after, say, 10 o'clock at night, other than to see it as a kind of a zone that needs to be really controlled and surveilled. And it's, you know, it's a danger zone in some ways. So I think these other cities like Amsterdam and Berlin, they've sort of see these as kind of creative hubs, moments. This is where a lot of the kind of energy sort of manifests itself in a way.
And the dangers that you see it as something chaotic or unruly to be calmed down and dampened.
Yeah, well, this is, again, is that kind of tension between, you know, the night is a space of exploration and other kinds of expression and social difference, but also very clearly, you know, the city at night is a space of danger and risk. So there, it is a space that at some level has to be kind of managed. It's got light and dark areas. There are kind of people out there that are kind of menacing figures, but there are also people out there that actually want to enjoy themselves and are kind of, you know, helping create that kind of energy that cities kind of thrive on and often use to kind of brand themselves as attractive kind of destinations for people, right? A city with a good nightlife is a valuable thing for many people.
We're going to try and get a minute of Madonna in. Can you introduce Vogue for us and where it fits into the story of your book?
Sure. Well, it probably covers a whole range of different cities and experiences. Of course, New York, but I think also, you know, one of the chapters is kind of looking at these kind of what we're called kind of anti-queer kind of or anti-gay queer clubs. So sort of straight bars where certain kinds of genre of music would be played and others would be kind of, you know, kept at bay. So the classic kind of disco would not be something that's necessarily heard there. But I think going out on Madonna would be going out on an appropriate note because she's very much a kind of a champion of nighttime activities of all sorts.
The book's called Nocturnes. Jeff, thanks for coming to talk us through it. Really nice to chat to you again.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
This is Vogue.